When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. We've got the two-man show going on this episode. No Sean Dutra, a stack of Pavones. It's the Causeway Street Podcast. You know what it is. I'm Justin Pavone. He is Joel Pavone. The Boston Celtics are on a four-game winning streak. These guys haven't lost since our last episode. And not only do I feel great about our 4-0 prediction, like it's very rare when the three of us all agree with that, but for them to go out and do this again, man, like, this is a special season. This is it, man. I feel like this is that team where we can rally behind and at the end of the day be like, man, these guys really have a legitimate shot at having the best record in the NBA, man. Like, you look at what Joel Embiid had to say. You look at the fact that the Boston Celtics not only avenged that loss from 1 week ago in Philly, but they got the best record in the Eastern Conference. And I just feel like there's a mean win streak brewing right now. It's only at four games, but you look ahead to the schedule, and without Sean Dutra, we will do that.
And I feel like load management, you know.
I feel like outside the Bucks matchup, and I guess you can put Philly in the mix, which they do play Philly again at TD Garden on December 1st. I really like the Celtics' chances of continuing this winning streak, man. Like, that's how good this team is. But how do you feel, Joel? Like, what's your opinion after seeing that Philadelphia 76ers game where no Porzingis, no Jaylen Brown, Al Horford gets to start, and you get a 10-point win on their own floor? Like, the team that's supposed to be your biggest threat in the Eastern Conference, man. Like, maybe I'm getting too ahead of myself, man. You tell me.
Well, I mean, first off, like, I think only me and you had like the 3-1 last week, because we both thought like the Raptors were gonna come in and make some noise. Yeah, we both did, but then like the Raptors just got.
He was here. He would be fucking. Yeah. He'd be pulling out receipts.
Yeah, I'd be remiss because, you know, he backs himself up by always saying, you know, 4-0 or 3-0, whatever the case. It's always, if it was up to him, it'd be 82-0, right?
It's always a sweep.
Yeah, it's always a sweep. Yeah. So, you know, I'd be remiss not to mention that, but this four-game win streak, the three games at home, they swept that. They're still undefeated at home. They go into Philly. You know they were pissed about last week, because if they had a little bit more time or they picked up their game a little bit earlier in that fourth quarter, you know, maybe they're walking out of there with the win. It could have gone either way, right? Three-point loss. And now a week later, two starters down. And we've been talking about, you know, since the preseason, since they acquired Jrue Holiday, how is this bench going to sustain when us one starter is out, never mind two? And the answer was clear as day. Al Horford, he owns the 76ers. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, Al Horford on both ends on the floor, you gave him minutes and he responded. hitting threes, five blocks. Like, come on. He's 37 years old. It's like, yo. And leading up to the, and leading up to the Philly game, Hauser, like, if you would have told me, yo, Hauser's going to be your leading scorer off the bench, I would be like, okay, what are you smoking and where can I get some of that? Because, yo, because, I mean, Sam Hauser, the first three games of the season in, yo, what was he, like 20% from, like, the field? And then ever since November 1st, he's been balling, like, shooting damn near 50%, 45 or 46% from three. Now, the question is, obviously, can this be sustainable, right? Because you got JB and KP questionable for the next game. So there lies the question, you know, how deep is this Celtics team outside of their top six, right?
Well, yeah, there's always that question, I feel like. That's something that's going to linger throughout the regular season. But at the same time, though, when you got Sam Hauser shooting, you know, or I should say making 24 threes out of, what was it?
Like 42. Yeah, something ridiculous.
42 attempts in the last six games going into the matchup against the Sixers, man. Like that's how you know you done made the scouting report. Like, mm-hmm. The Philadelphia 76ers were doing their best to stop you, and it didn't even matter. Like,
yeah.
I'm so happy for Hauser to have that starting opportunity alongside Al Horford, because Al, I mean, like, 95% of his career, he's been a starter, right? So obviously that's not like that's something he's, you know, he's not like, man, I'm starting, I'm so excited about this, but you know he's going to come correct, man. Like, yeah. That's the thing I love about Al. Like, Al, I feel like it's been an adjustment coming off the bench. It's always going to be an adjustment for someone who's played over 1,000 games as a starter, who's only come off the bench probably 10 times in the last, like, 16 to 17 years. So, yeah, of course it's an adjustment, but it's an adjustment that's good for the long run with this Celtics team, right? Al Horford has gone through two deep playoff runs. The Celtics, the Bayern, I think, guys are going to go through a third. And you want to make sure that he's in tip-top shape. And, yeah, he's 37. He's not getting any younger, but he's still productive. He's still motivated. He's still someone that I feel like is going to get the most out of his playing time, you know? And so I'm not surprised about what we saw from Al Horford in that starting lineup. I just hope people, or Celtics fans rather, know that, like, this is the result of Al coming off the bench long term, right? Or more so, right? Maybe you get even a better production, a better performance when you have someone like Al who can defend the perimeter, who can defend off the switch, who can defend the rim, who can play against the MVP, the reigning MVP of the NBA, and he's coming off the bench. Like, you want to preserve that at its most, right? But when you have nights like this, I get it why some Celtics fans would be like, man, this guy should get more minutes. No, like, it's a long-ass season.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised to see this type of performance from Al Horford against the Philadelphia 76ers, against Joel Embiid, you know, in a spot start that people didn't expect. But at the same time, I don't want to change his role. I like where he's at. Like, I think this is exactly the most productive version of Al you're going to get, especially when we're talking about the long run. And again, a team that destined to make a trip to the NBA Finals. Like, you have to remember, like, this thing is a long-ass road. And the Suns have been through that road. And I don't think Al is discouraged in the slightest. Like, having someone like Kristaps Porzingis, having someone like Drew Holiday in the backcourt, it only makes your team better. And that's what this accentuates, especially on a night when you don't have Porzingis, you don't have Jaylen Brown. Like, this is where the Celtics are supposed to flex their depth. Supposed to flex why they have the best top six in the NBA. And that's exactly what they did, in my opinion, Wednesday night against the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mazzulla said it after the game. He was like, yo, coaching this dude is like an inspiration. Like, he's older than me. And, like, he's gonna do whatever you ask him to do. Like, he's a consistent professional. The fact that he doesn't care if he's starting or coming off the bench, because he's like, I'm gonna play what I always do. Whatever it is that is needed of me, offense, defense, like, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it to the best of my ability. And, you know, and here's some numbers for you here, right? In terms of, like, the first, you know, 11 games. I'm taking this from Sean's boy, from Ducha's boy, Sean Grandy, right? On Twitter. Okay. All right.
That's a good source. That's a good source.
All right. So you got the Celtics right now, number three offense in the league. Okay. Number two defense. All right. They got the best scoring margin and they got the best net rating. Okay.
Oh, they're balling.
They're balling right now. And they're tied with the Denver Nuggets. You know, we want to say, like, oh, they got the best record in the East. No, they're tied with the Denver Nuggets with the best record in the league. That's saying something right now in terms of the early going here with the new pieces, new coaching staff. Like, come on. It's a great start, you know? It's a great start.
Yeah, man, the depth is real, man. And my thing right now is, like, everyone who's on the same page, and I don't expect them to, you know, stray from what's the norm, right? Because you have experienced guys, you have veterans like Holiday and Porzingis, and the rest of the Celtics, the remaining, you know, Celtics players that have been around since the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. However, I always say, when it comes to an NBA championship team, like, everyone's got to be on the same page, man. Like, that's the sense I get from these guys, man. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, the Boston Celtics, they're not worried about all the other teams. They're just worried about their own evolution and being the best version of themselves. Like, those are the most scariest teams that we see in the NBA, man. Like, it's so funny. Like, the whole Joe Mazzulla thing, when the Toronto Raptors got upset about him, wanted to challenge a call and wanted to, like, throw one of his, like, third string forwards a bone. Like, I love that, man. It's like, yo, this isn't about you, okay? I'm trying to not only reward my third string forward who could potentially get meaningful minutes one day because he looks so passionate with what he said about, like, no, I swear, coach, I didn't touch that. I know we're up by double figures and there's only 2 minutes left, but believe me, like, the referees got this wrong. And for your coach to go out there and be like, challenge, I don't care if this game is a wrap. I don't care that we're going to win no matter what. My boy says, you guys got it wrong. He's been working his ass off. It's garbage time, and he's treating this game like it's a tie game. So I'm going to reward him. Like, that's, in my opinion, like the beginning stages of a championship team. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe things change down the road, whether it's, you know, barring an injury or barring some type of, like, huge trade that puts another Eastern Conference team, you know, over the top. But right now, I don't think any team needs to fuck with the Celtics. Like, I don't, and the crazy thing about it is, I don't think it's close, Joel. I really don't think it's close. Like, after seeing what happened between the Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, the team with the better record going into that game, who didn't have injury, Joel Embiid played, Tobias Harris played. I mean, Kelly Oubre wasn't in the mix. I'll give him that, right? Kelly Oubre, has been on a tear in the last couple of weeks. And look, what happened to him,
We'll get into it. Don't worry.
All conspiracy theories aside, like, my man is still hurt. Like, okay. So I'll leave it at that. However, the Boston Celtics it just feels like they're head and shoulders above the Sixers, man. And I don't see another Eastern Conference team that's even, like, the same level as the Celtics, while the Milwaukee Bucks are trying to figure out, like, wait, are we still a great team? Like, it's a great place to be if you're the Boston Celtics. You know what I mean?
I mean, like the kids say these days, no cap, right? I see no lies in what you just said, all right? I see not like, one single effing lie in what you said.
Three weeks into the regular season, come like, on. Again, it's early. You guys can agree that it's early. Everyone listening can agree that it's early.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
I'm not over the top, though,
no.
As to what I feel.
No, look, you know, when it comes to the Bucks, you got Antetokounmpo, you know, scoring 55 points and they still lose, you know, and you got Dame scoring 38, 39 points and they're barely winning or most likely a loss. So like they're still trying to figure out, like they have a whole new system to get acquainted with. Meanwhile, the Celtics, the core, it's been together for so many years. Even before Joe became the head coach, he was the longest, you know, tenured on the Celtics coaching staff overall. So he knows what this is about. He knows what they're trying to do. You know, Sam Cassell coming from the Sixers last year, and you got Charles Lee coming from the Bucks last year. So you're two teams that you're most likely gonna see in the playoffs, and you got to deal with all season long. Like,
and Charles got all the secrets.
And he's got all the juice.
He got all the Bucks secrets.
He's got all the tea.
How to defend Giannis? Come over here.
He's got all the tea.
Yeah, for real.
So,
you guys want to know what Giannis absolutely can't stand?
Yeah.
Come over here.
Of course. Okay. Again, it's early. You know, we can't, you know, emphasize that enough, but it's looking really good right now. It's looking really good, and they're looking like the Celtics, looking like the team that's leaps and bounds above everybody right now, and especially in the East. So, again, like you said, barring any long term injuries, this wave. It looks like, you know, we're going into like Turkey Day next week. You know, that street can go into past the Turkey Day, past Black Friday, and maybe, you know.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is Turkey Day next week.
Crazy, yeah. Right? Crazy.
Yo, time flops when you're having fun, I guess.
It sure does. Though. Like, I mean, you've been in the trenches. Like, you've seen this, like, firsthand in terms of, you know, being in the locker room, being in the scrums. You were out in Philly. Like, what's the overall vibe of this team, in your opinion?
Again, I just feel like they're just all about, like, how can we make ourselves better? Like, I think that's what makes them so scared.
So they're not satisfied.
Honestly, they're not satisfied. I feel like that's what makes them so, like, a cut above the rest. Because I feel like it's not about, like, comparing yourself to others or going through a particular game plan, you know, designed for a particular team that it's going off of whatever characteristics they've been going off of. You know, recently, I feel like the Boston Celtics is just more like, yo, we're focusing on this, and whether it's the Philadelphia 76ers or whether it's the Orlando Magic or whatever bottom feeder team you think, it doesn't matter. Like, Joe Mazzulla has said over and over again that whatever they're going to do, it has to be against any team. And it has to be whatever personnel you expect. So I almost feel like Joe Mazzulla was excited about the challenge of having to face the Sixers without Porzingis, without Jaylen Brown. He's like, oh, the more the better, because you know what? Like, Banton and, you know, guys who aren't expected to play every single day, they're going to be accustomed to the system as opposed to what the other team looked like. Just trust the system and we'll figure this thing out. And I think that's what's going to bring this team a long way, especially when you're talking about teams like the Denver Nuggets or, like, any type of the top contenders in the Eastern Conference. I feel like the Celtics just... they have an edge over those guys. They really do.
Hell yeah. To Mr. Dennis Schroeder, yo, relax, my dude, okay? Like, you know, this, like, Joe is on to something here right now, okay? Whether it's, you know,
this game's gonna be fun, though.
Player one down to player 15 or 16, 17, you want to call the two-way players, fine. But, like, everybody has to buy in. He's making sure everybody's buying in. And, yeah, you know, I like what KP said the other night. I'm getting my games mixed up here. I think before the Knicks, who did they play before the Knicks?
Before the Knicks?
Yeah, before the Knicks. It was Toronto, right? So, no.
Toronto, yeah.
Okay, so it might have been after that game, but it's in the realm of this past week that, yeah, wait until the chemistry is really good. Like, it's like, yo, we're barely touching the surface, scratching the surface when it comes to our chemistry and what it can be. He was talking about, like, you know, the two-man game with him and Jaylen Brown. Most of that is freestyling because we know what our talent is, right? But we still don't know each other that well as teammates. So wait until that happens, and then it's on. So I like that. I like the attitude overall from this roster. And it starts with Joe. And, yeah, again, it's good. It's good.
No, it's incredible, man, because you think about, like, having the top six, right, which has always been, like, the toxic training camp, if you ask me, like having that top six being so interchangeable and the fact that all these guys can, like, not only shoot, they can defend, they can go off for 20 plus points. Like, let's face it, like, name a guy throughout that top six that can't give you 20 plus points on any given night. Like, I just think that's what separates them from everybody else. And obviously the focus and the fact that, like, you know, what happened last year, I think all that rings true. I think it's all relevant in the sense that, like, they got the NBA final 2 years ago. They were so into their heads or whatever excuse you want to plug into what happened in that Eastern Conference final series where they ended up down 3-0. However, like, that resilience that they showed to come back and force a game seven, and sure, the game seven didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, but, like, they're just on a whole nother page right now where it's like, listen, we can't take anything for granted. We can't, you know, treat any team differently. Because remember that narrative from last year is that, oh, the team plays down to the competition.
The competition, yeah, yeah.
Any team on any given night, you know, can surprise them. I don't see that happening this year. I really don't. Because, one, the lesson that they learned, and, two, these two reinforcements in Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, I just feel like it just raises the stakes. And yeah. Regardless of how you feel about it, like, guys like Tatum and Brown, you know, like, they know that this is the best looking team they've ever been a part of. And it shows, especially in Tatum. Like, he's super efficient. He's picking his spots. You don't see the type of Tatum that I've seen in the past couple of, you know, 2-3 years where it's like, I have to get going. I have to score in bunches or else we're going to lose. He's just reading the defense at this point, and he's seeing what's best for the team. And, like, I just feel like that's a recipe for success, and also for the recipe for, like, if he needs to go off, he's able to preserve that energy and just give you, like, the most devastating fourth quarter finish that you can think of. Like, granted, he's done that in some regard, but he hasn't gone full flood because he hasn't had to, because that's how good this other team has been. However, it's only 3 weeks of the regular season, and this Celtics team, man, I really don't see them slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, man, you mentioned the top six can give you 20 plus on any given night, but four out of those six can give you 30 plus on any given night. And then you want to break it down even further. Two of six could give you 40 or more on any given night. So, yeah. So, this is the firepower.
Mad offense.
Mad offense. Offense for days, kids. Offense for days. And then on the flip side, they're playing defense. Even when they're up by like 20, they're still, double and forcing turnovers. So, that's also a good thing. So, they're going to play, at least that's what it looks like the first, few weeks of the season. They're going to play the same way against whoever, and doesn't matter if they're up by 10 or up by 20 or whatever, they're still going to play that way as if like they're down by 10.
I just feel like this other team, man, like, they're rolling right now. You're waiting for what type of obstacles they're going to face. But, man, that Sixers win might be my favorite win of the season this early. 11 games into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, You can go back and look at some of these blowouts. The Pacers come to mind, blowing up by 54 points. Obviously that was one sided from the jump, but like this game, like they fought like they let a 17-point lead go to shit, and then they came back, and when Philly kept making their runs, they're like, nope, making sure that Philly never got their lead back again. And to do it in Philly, like I have to agree. That's definitely the best win of the year. The quote signature win of the year. If you're listening to good old Park, good old Belmont Park, yeah, then that's the signature win.
Belmont.
you ever heard KG do his Park impersonation? It's fucking hilarious.
I'm trying to get the price spot on. I just feel like Perk is trying to like not sound like the Celtic fan that he truly is, but like this is the one year where it's okay. Like, I don't see another team in the Eastern Conference that's on the same page. Like, don't try to like give us a hot take because I don't see it. You know what I mean? It's okay to be a Celtic fan.
Nah, his whole thing was like his attitude towards the Celtics this season is, let's wait to the playoffs. Let's wait to the playoffs. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll do that then. and then until then, he'll keep, riding every other team that's hot during a week, and then then hop on another team. That's what he does. That's his thing.
You think Sean will be mad if we look ahead, or should we just skip that segment?
We can look ahead.
All right, well, let's finish this road trip then, right? We got the Toronto Raptors. We got an in-season tournament game. I mean, the in-season tournament has kind of changed now that we have one of the craziest fights we've seen in a while, right? I mean, maybe that's what the NBA was going for. Maybe not necessarily the fighting, but maybe they're going for those type of rivalries that we didn't see coming. Like, no one saw the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors starting a rivalry. So that was probably, like, low-key the intent. Like, which Eastern Conference team is going to have that rival, after the fact, right? After the in-season tournament where, like, they're like, man, next time we see that team, it's on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does kind of spice things up a bit when you look at it from that angle.
Well, I mean, if the Raptors are still mad about the whole, Joe calling a challenge at the end of the last game, then by all means, bring it. I don't know.
then Tatum might get choked out.
I don't know. By Schroeder, like out of all people.
I never liked y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah, or they'll send in.
I never liked this organization. You got the track.
Yeah, or send in big dick energy, Grady Dick to just do the dirty work.
Where we number one, Mr. Big Dick Energy.
I wonder if he's starting next game because that's I gotta hear that. I gotta hear that intro again.
Yo, who's getting fired for this? Like, what is wrong with you?
Like, you didn't think you didn't think that was gonna go viral? You didn't think that shit was gonna go viral?
No. I swear, man. I got a kid in there. Never mind a daughter. I'm like, yo. And this is inappropriate.
And you know the youngins, you know the youngins are like, did he just say what I think he just said? The dude sounds like he tried to sneak it in there, like big dig in it. It's like, nah, dude.
I think putting the big part in there is what made it terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been dick energy.
Yeah, not yeah, yeah. Could be like average size dick energy. I don't know. What do you think?
That would have sounded terrible. Average size dick energy. That would have sounded awful.
And I can just imagine Grady like, yo, you don't have to say anything at all about the fucking size of my member, of my fucking penis. Like, relax, dude. That's just my last name is Dix.
It's just my last name.
It's just my last name. I've been going through this bullshit my whole life. I'm finally made it to the NBA. Finally made it to the NBA. Now I gotta deal with this shit all over again.
He's getting 5 minutes in middle school. Like, yo, okay, that's my last name. Jesus.
Enough with the harassment. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be the second, you know, in-season tournament game for the Celtics on the road, so that's good. I feel like they've been playing a lot on the road to start the season. Anyways, yeah, Toronto tonight up north. And then will we see Marcus Smart on Sunday? Is he like, I believe he's got an ankle injury?
I don't think he wants to see Boston.
Oof. It's a little rough out there in Memphis,
like,
huh?
It's like meeting up with your ex-girlfriend who's doing just way better than you. I don't think Marcus is excited.
He wants to save face.
I'm so happy for you. You're going to say it with like a freaking little frown.
Hey, guys. You guys are off to a great start, huh? Fucking assholes.
Yeah, exactly. It's got the same energy as somebody who's like, yo, like, I always knew you guys can do this. But had that like side thought being like, why the fuck wasn't I part of it?
Yeah, right. Like, why couldn't we fucking win when I was there for 9 fucking seasons? And, you know, like all his boys and be like, yo, how's the married life? Yeah, it's all right, guys. It's all right. All right. So which ball are we using? Because I, you know, let's get this over with. You know, it's done. It's over. We're done with.
So is Porzingis playing or not? Like, that's what
I'm saying. I know, right? That's what he was saying. So KP, in or out? Because, you know, I got an ankle injury and I'm going to play.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, actually, he's not playing. And he goes, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Injury prone.
Porzingis is another game time decision. Okay.
Like, I'll never forget the conversation I had with him right before he was going to move away from Boston. And he's just like, man, if they think that's the guy that they need, and so be it. Like, in other words, being like, yo, like, you got to check me for Porzingis? That alone says you think you guys are better off with him than me. Yeah. So if that's the case, then I'll take it. But he didn't have to say the part that I already, like, had in my head where it's like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But if you guys think it's going to make y'all better, then so be it. Yeah. I'll you can sacrifice me. You know what I mean? Because I get it. And, you know, There's a lot to break down when you think about it, right? Because you can also say, like, you know, that something's just had to sort of move on from Marcus, but some people do believe that. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. However, if you're bringing in someone like Porzingis and you thought that was worth, you know, bringing in Porzingis, then okay, I can agree with that. But the whole, like, narrative at that time, at least, where, like, some people, especially the smart naysayers, were like, you have to get rid of Smart. I never believed in that.
I didn't either.
Like, oh, Smart's the problem. No, Smart's not the problem. But if you want to use them to upgrade the roster, then all right, go ahead. Like,
by
I
all
never
means.
Said,
yeah.
Right. I never said there's no way you can upgrade this roster, you know, in trading Marcus Smart. Like, he wasn't untouchable. I think most of these guys would agree with the fact that Marcus wasn't untouchable.
We remember when he signed his latest extension, and that's the first thing that was said. This is a team-friendly deal, and if it needs to be moved, it can be moved easy, right? So, obviously, he didn't expect to have it go down right after he was told that he wasn't going to be traded, but circumstances were beyond, I think Stevens' control, where he's just like, yo, I got this, you know, in my back pocket. The Clippers don't want Brogdon, so now.
No, no, well, both of them. Both of them. You know, Porzingis, number one. Like, I can't think of another head coach that used to gush over Porzingis than more than Brad Stevens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Drew Holiday.
But that's the other piece, though. That's the other piece. The day before training camp, Celtics fans were like, is Derek White really going to be the guy, you know, like, who's going to run this offense? And for the other shoe to drop, I have to believe that 95% of Celtics fans said, okay, now this Marcus Smart trade makes sense, because you brought in essentially an older, more offensively polished Marcus Smart, right? Is that fair to say at this point? He's an all-star.
100%. Yeah. But at the time, though, you got to remember, those two trades are like 2 months apart.
No,
but
you're right. You're right. Yeah,
When Marcus was traded. No one saw the Marcus Smart replacement that the eventually got. Right?
Yeah, because Joe and Brad were just like, no, Derek White's going to be the point guard. Starting point guard is not going to be Malcolm Brogdon. We're probably still trying to move him, but, you know, if that doesn't happen.
Malcolm's like, wait, what?
Malcolm is still our sixth man, all right? So it is what it is. So I think they did well, and, you know, only time will tell on how deep this roster can actually be going forward. They got Memphis on Sunday. Whether Marcus Smart plays or not remains to be seen. And then they wrap up the little mini road trip in Charlotte. A place where a former Celtic may or may not play in Scary Terry Rozier. Cause he's out right now. And I know this because he's on my fantasy team. So here we go.
Yo, you can't catch a break.
Nope.
Man.
Nope.
I feel like all these former Celtics players, man, like they got something going on, whether one thing or another, while something's rolling right now in the Eastern Conference.
I know, right? Like, yo, after we recorded last episode, the news dropped of Robert Williams, you know, being out for the rest of the year, and I'm just like, Jesus, man, that guy can't catch a break. That dude can't catch a break.
Bro, Stevens would have cried all over his pillow, thinking about what could have been with Drew Holiday. Like,
yeah, I think he would have resigned. Thinking like, you know what? The one move that I didn't make, and I don't know if I can continue as a president of basketball operations. I think I'm out, guys. I'm gonna step down. I'm sorry. I tried.
Yeah, man. It's incredible. You gotta give props to Brad, man, for having the you know what to pull these moves off.
So yeah, so you know, we're talking about them on a roll right now. Three beatable teams, all below 500. Even Memphis, unfortunately. 3-0. I think 3-0.
3-0, baby.
3-7.
As Dutra would say. 3-0, baby.
3-0, baby. Wow, he would have done like, well, you know, when you put together, you know, the potential Smart, you know, first game against the Celtics, and, you know, I'm going to say 3-0, baby. 3-0. And you know I love Mr. Marcus Smart now. You know I love Mr. Marcus Smart, but 3-0. 3-0. Yeah, so.
Shout out to Marcus. Shout out to Marcus.
Yeah. He'll be wearing his Smart jersey that day. Sean, you know, shout out to you, Dutra, and your load management.
Yo, shout out to Derek White, though, man. I feel like he was really, like, showing off his ability as a facilitator, you know what I mean? Like, that Philadelphia 76ers game, when you think about that second half, the way it played out, like, he was really dictating who gets their touches, who gets their shots, and when to get his, right? And I think that's a big part of his evolution as a point guard, as a player. I think that's a big reason why Joe Mazzulla didn't hesitate after the fact, you know, the postseason when Marcus Smart was traded. He was like, Derek White's our starting point guard, right? You know, before the Drew Holiday trade went down. Because that's how much he believes in White. And I think he's capable of that. But I do think it's a maturation process. But let me tell you, man, what I saw from that Philly game, and I'm super confident in him in taking that shot, that three-point shot, when he knows it's appropriate, but also setting up that second unit, which, let's face it, offensively, is very limited outside of Al Horford. Oh, and Sam Hauser, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Derek White brings defensively. We know what Drew Holiday brings defensively. Like, these are two guards that have, like, the most blocks right now in the NBA. I believe Drew is leading that block party for days.
Bro, they're like centers. It's insane.
For real. And like, the offensive boards out of both of them, like, it's been ridiculous, right? We knew that.
Bro, Holiday's averaging 7 rebounds. Who does that?
And five of them are, like, offensive boards. So, yeah. Fantastic,
what's
right?
What's his problem?
So, but on the offensive end, Derek White right now, he's as as confident as we've seen him since he's arrived in Boston. Not afraid to take the shot. He's not second guessing himself. And if he finds a better shot opportunity for somebody else, he's you know, passing it off as well. So he's picking his spots. He's making great decisions. Yeah, it's the backcourt right now is looking fantastic. Sorry, Marcus, but it is.
Yeah, man. If you're asking me defensively, it doesn't get better than those two, man. It's incredible. And you know what? You're only going to get better. That's what's scary about it in this damn Clippers team. However, let's wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single show here on Causeway Street. Let's take a trip around the NBA with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we missed, man?
In case you missed it. Because I got my Stone Cold theme playing in the background. Obviously, we're going to talk about the
shattered glass, baby.
The quote scuffle between Klay Thompson and Jaden McDaniels, Warriors T-Wolves game. By the way, this was the second game between these two teams this week. So this has been brewing like all week. Okay,
I loved the back and forth between Draymond and Anthony Edwards in that first game, man. So yeah, I was not surprised to see this.
Yeah.
However, I was surprised by the fact that it happened 2 minutes in the damn first quarter.
Yo, bro, like
two teams really don't like each other.
This is insane.
Wild.
This is insane how this has developed this quickly, right? The scuffle happens, and for those that don't, well, let's break down the scuffle. Well, it went a little something like this.
That neck grab, what is wrong with
that? Hold on, but before that, you got Klay and McDaniels, right, coming down the court, fucking.
And I like McDaniels, by the way, man. He's a tough defender. I like him.
tussling each other to the point where McDaniels ripped Klay Thompson's jersey, right? And mind you, while like the refs are trying to figure out what the hell just happened, they're bringing Klay Thompson.
Light-skinned Klay Thompson was just like,
I have never in all of my days, as he's waiting shirtless.
How dare you rip these threads?
Shirtless, waiting for another jersey to be given to him, only to be told, my man, you've been tossed. You're gone. You're gone, right? Two texts for Jaden, two texts for fucking Klay. They're both out of here. And while that scuffle happened between those two, you know, obviously, teammates of both teams came to separate. Now, the way I saw it, Rudy Gobert was trying to separate those two, but then all of a sudden off the top rope comes fucking Draymond Green, gives him the chokehold. I don't know if he was trying to give him the sleeper hold, whatever. Comes up on Gobert. All right, all up on his neck. Okay. Also gets tossed. He gets assessed a flagrant 2, automatic ejection. After all the smoke is cleared, the NBA suspended Draymond Green for 5 games without pay. For those that are like, oh, he's gonna get, no, he ain't getting paid for 5 games.
I think that's a fair suspension, man.
When you think
about his history, when you think about he's 37, you know, what, 14 plus years in the league or whatever the number is, like, you should know better than this, man. This ain't it.
Yeah, because I mean, look. Based on, you know, I'll read a little bit of what the NBA said, right? So. Following the chokehold, the league called it, quote, escalating an on-court altercation and forcibly grabbing Gobert around the neck in an unsportsman and dangerous manner. Is there any other way to do that, though? Is there any other way to choke somebody without it being unsportsmanlike?
No, man.
I don't think so.
It's a rude act altogether.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be like, yo, oh, nah, man, I know you didn't mean to choke my neck, you know. I, it's cool. We good, you know? No, like...
I know you didn't mean to construct my breathing.
I know, right? I know you didn't mean to come from behind and grab me up by my neck and pull me away from the scuffle. And while I still have my hands up and the scuffle is done, but you're still on my neck. I know you didn't mean to do that. You know, so we cool.
But I couldn't breathe, sir.
I know, like my breathing had stopped for a second or two.
You disrupted my breathing.
Now, obviously, the length of the suspension, is according to the league, is based largely on Green's history of, quote, unsportsmanlike acts. So, you mean kicks to the groin? Stepping on a man's sternum? Like, those unsportsmanlike acts? You know, finally, the NBA is like, you know, I think we got to put a little stop to this when it comes to Draymond Green. Now, like a week ago, like leading up to this, he gets in it with Donovan Mitchell. Like, yo, Donovan Mitchell's like the nicest dude ever, dude. Like, how do you piss off Donovan Mitchell? I don't understand. You know?
Yeah, yo, that's insane.
I believe he got ejected out of that game. And then the talking shit to Anthony Edwards 2 days before the scuffle, when the two teams, when Minnesota and Golden State were facing off the first time around, to the point where Anthony was like, "Yo, ain't nobody worried about you, bro. Like, you know, you want to talk your shit, you want to hold on to something that's slowly slipping out of your hands in terms of like this little dynasty.
It's like, yo, it's old.
It's getting old. Right? It's getting old. Exactly.
I used to watch y'all when I was a teenager. Yeah. And it's old. It's been
yeah.
old.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the NBA was just like, all right, enough is enough, right? They had to set a precedent. I was surprised that it was five games. I was in agreement that it should have been, you know, five or upwards of, you know, closer to 10 if you're asking me, but I really thought it was going to be like maybe like two or three games, to be honest. But I'm glad that the NBA was, you know, went back into this history, because if you don't know, you can just hop on Twitter and you'll see pretty much all of his altercations, right? And to the point where Rudy Gobert, after the fact, was just like, hey, by the way, like Steph being out most likely means that Draymond's going to get himself ejected. And maybe there was some truth to that, because obviously someone went back in the archives and did their little research and pretty much found out that when it comes to the last 11 ejections, 7 of those ejections have been when Steph Curry has not been playing. Maybe Rudy had known that prior, or I think maybe he was just saying it just to say it, but there was some truth to it. And after the fact, he called the chokehold not a good one, because he was like, I never was any in danger of falling asleep or anything like that. And I don't think he knows how to do the chokehold in the right way, because, you know, I was kept my hands up the whole time, like showing the officials, like, yo, I'm not escalating this. Like, just get this man off of me, because I don't need this dude to be on me, on my neck, on a doing a poor chokehold.
This is not what I need, right?
Yeah. please, just get him off. Just get him off. Yeah. So, and again, all this happened 2 minutes into the game, neither team had scored. This is the first time 3 players have been tossed before either team has scored in the last 25 years. I didn't realize that was even a thing, but it is. You know, people look up the most craziest things. Green will lose about $770,000 during the suspension. And the other 3 involved got fined $25,000 each, including Rudy Gobert, the guy who didn't do anything, in my opinion, to warrant being fined $25,000. It is what it is.
Yeah, I swear he's the most hated player in the NBA.
I really think he is, bro. I really think he is. Like, you have Pat Bev, right? Who used to be at the Timberwolves, who shit on Kat and Anthony Edwards. Like, yo, they didn't do shit. Like, they should have choked Draymond as well. Saying that, like, Rudy's disliked. So it's like, yo, he felt like that was personal. That, like, Draymond's, like, not liked Rudy for a long time for whatever reason. And they just all came out at that moment. Like, that's insane. That's insane to me. And then, I told you, there's a lot to unpack here, but, like, you know, you got Steve Kerr, who that night was defending Draymond to the death. Like, he was going to die on that hill. Like, nah, he believed that Clay was getting choked. And from where I was standing, Clay was getting choked. So that's why he was out there just defending Clay. The tune changed real quick when I bet you he reviewed the video several times in my guesstimation here. Green went too far for choking Rudy Gobert for several seconds, and it was a bad look for the NBA. You know, Kerr also added that Green has to find a way to not cross the line for a physical act of violence. That's inexcusable. So I'm surprised that he changed his tune on that, because he was hell bent on saying that that Draymond did the right thing. He always defends his players, which, you know, in certain cases that's good, but like, there was no need for someone to get choked out, whether it was a bad chokehold or not. So, for those wondering, the T-Wolves won both those games against the Warriors. And as we're recording this podcast, the Warriors are 6-6. Steph is going to be out for an extended period of time. And now Draymond is also out. So, Klay Thompson not playing so well. Also a guy in my fantasy. It's not a good start for me when it comes to my fantasy squad, but that's neither here or there. I digress. But good job, Draymond, because you're hurting your team even more so. Not that I don't think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. Shit, I had them in the top four in the West, but you know, it's not a good start right now, and this hurts them even more. You got no one holding Draymond accountable, at least not anymore. What was the GM that left, Myers? He would hold Draymond accountable for some shit like this. Like, yo, you can't be fucking doing that. Like, that's enough, bro. You've been in the league for X amount of years. But I don't know. I always thought that was a good reason why they brought in Chris Paul to kind of, you know, hold players accountable. But who knows what's going to happen in terms of the Warriors going forward. But the Wolves, you know, they're off to a great start, probably their best start in decades. They beat the Celtics and they beat the Nuggets. The only team that can say that right now. Giving them both their first losses, so I mean, good for them. But they're on the come up, and they're not going to take shit from the Warriors.
Yeah, man. I mean, like the whole like, hey, Draymond, you know better. Like everyone knows that at this point. It's just like how big of a suspension is it? And I think 5 games is appropriate. You know, originally I was thinking he should get more, but looking back on it, when you think about like what John Morant went through and all that. I think 5 games is appropriate, and I think it sends the right message, especially this early in the season, where it's like, you do something like this again, it's probably going to double the amount of games he was suspended for. So I think I like that in that sense. And I also feel like the Golden State Warriors is like this like false sense of like, you know, they're going to just get back to where they were. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. When you look at the how competitive the Western Conference is, and like the moves a lot of these teams have made to position themselves to make it to the finals. I don't know if Golden State's in that same category as some of these teams.
No, you're right. And they can't afford to lose another like key piece to their roster so early on in the season. Like look at Memphis. Like Memphis is they're falling. They've only won 2 games this year. And you know, granted the Warriors are at 500 and anything could happen, but like their margin of error is too small. It can't be where they just like, all right, that's cool. You know, we'll fall down a little bit and then we'll get right back up again. Like, no, like it's just, this can't happen, for somebody that of who's that important to the team. Like everyone knows, like he's the heart and soul of the Warriors. So, I don't know if you're curious to know, how many, I guess Draymond notable incidents, if you want to say. So this is his fifth career suspension.
You're pulling up his rap sheet right now?
A little rap sheet right now, yeah. So this is going to be career suspension number 5, okay? He's racked up 171 technical fouls, 20 flagrant fouls, 19 ejections, and I don't know if
this... 19 is kind of wild.
And I don't know if this latest, what he's going to lose in salary has been added to this number I'm about to read, but so far he's... he's paid upward of $1.4 million in fines. So, you know, take that for data, so to speak.
A lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Like, unnecessary. Unnecessary fucking
money. You know he doesn't care.
Man. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit. Insane. I mean, he put out a post after the days leading up to the scuffle that, like, yo, I'm, you know, everyone's trying to tell me how to be me. I'm the only one that knows how to be me. I've been Draymond for X amount of years, and I'm going to always be Draymond. It's like, all right, you're essentially challenging the NBA. It was like, yo, do something about it. Like, if you really want to do something about it, do something about it. So I think the NBA finally did. This is, I think, his last warning. Like you said, the next time he does some shit like this is, you know, it's going to be 10 games or more, because essentially they did that with John Morant, right? They gave Demetrius, you know, a little slap on the wrist, in my opinion, the first time around. But the second time, they're like, all right, dude, like, now you're just being an asshole. So that's essentially what the NBA is going to do with Draymond if this keeps happening. So,
yeah, and that's the way it should be, man. I feel like he's got to be made an example. And, you know, it's interesting when you look back at, like, other dynasties and, you know, what could have been and all that, you wonder if Golden State Warriors didn't do this right? Like, in the sense of you break up this core. Like, you remember the infamous quote, right? You know, calling the Celtics team as long as we have, or Danny Ainge was like, Ray Auerbach turned to me one day and told me about the type of deals that he had on the table for guys like Kevin McHale. You know, the whole, I think it was the Indiana Pacers deal that was on the table, like Chuck Person and Bayless Shrimp and Sam Perkins and all these guys that they were willing to give up to break up the big three. And Red Auerbach was like, absolutely not. I'll never break these guys up. But did that evolve into a championship? No, it didn't. Instead, you got these guys who aged out. You started a rebuild that took way longer than most people anticipated, right? Like over a decade before they drafted someone like Paul Pierce, and, you know, 7 years after the fact, went ahead and put together the next big three. Like, I just feel like you look at a Golden State Warriors team and you wonder if they could have made some type of deal that put them back in the mix or put them in a better position. But I'm not quite sure, because you look at James Wiseman and, the fact that they won a championship a couple of years ago, like, I don't blame them that they didn't want to break things up. But at the same time, like, this is the risk, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean,
all look of a sudden, you're not as relevant. You may go into like a dark, like, era where you're not relevant for quite some time, but you're hoping that they can squeeze out one more finals run. You know, like, that's the trade-off. You're hoping for one more finals run, and you may, because of that one more run, end up going into a rebuild mode that could cost you 5, 6, 7 plus years.
Yeah, but I think it might cost them more than that, because they're, at some point you're going to have to start asking, like, yo, when are they going to start thinking about the future? Because you got so much money wrapped in right now in Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You just gave Draymond Green $100 million. You told him, look, we're going to get rid of Jordan Poole. We're giving you $100K. Like, you know, we're going to keep this going until literally the wheels fall off. You know, you got Steph who's making another $200 million. You know, at some point, they're going to have to be like, yo, we're going to start, you know, bringing in some younger talent. You know, Andrew Wiggins isn't playing well right now, and he's wrapped up in a big contract. So,
yo, Steph Curry is the only Warriors player who has scored 20 plus points this season. And I know it's only 10, 11 games in, but that's insane.
Yeah,
like, that no one else has scored over 20 points.
Yeah. And with the new CBA, like, they're going to be, you know, getting fined. And, isn't it like loss of like second round picks or something at some point when you keep being a repeat offender? So I don't know. It might be looking a little bit grim. So you're right. They might be trying to squeeze out another championship just to be like, well, this is worth it. But
no buyout candidates. Yeah. You know, those restrictions for the second apron team, which obviously something's fall under, like,
yeah,
it gets very limited.
Yeah.
Especially midseason.
Yeah. Especially after being, you know, first time offender. Then when you can start being a second, third time and beyond, that's when it gets a little tricky. So yeah. Yeah. It's going to be tough out West. It's going to be a tough out West. All right.
All right. What else we missed?
In case you missed it, Kelly Oubre. We brought him up earlier. According to him, we have to say that now because what I'm about to say, he was a pedestrian struck by a motor vehicle in Center City, Philadelphia. He went to a local hospital, received treatment, and was
allegedly,
right? And he was later released, and he was in stable condition, so he was able to be released. Now, before the Celtics faced the 76ers, there was a report that came out from the Philly Inquirer saying that police have stated that the surveillance footage reviewed to the date from the reported hit and run involving Kelly Oubre does not show any indications of an accident happening at Center City Junction, where Oubre said he was struck. This was on Saturday night. Okay, that's when he
and
said.
Shout out to my guy Keith, man. Keith on Bay had this report. I had a chance to catch up with him when I was in Philly, man. Yeah, man, it's a lot of question marks around this whole situation.
Yeah, so, quote, a source familiar with the situation said that Oubre may not have provided an accurate account of where the crash allegedly occurred. So right now, as it stands, Oubre has some rib injuries, and he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. When I first heard the news back in over the weekend, I was like, holy shit, like, that's messed up. Like, but then I thought to myself, the fuck was he doing just walking the streets of Philadelphia? I don't know. But that's just the way I think. But anyways.
No, I was thinking the same way, Joel. I mean, maybe because we're brothers, but at the same time, we're grown-ass men, you know, over 30. No. And we're not going to just be
not like that
in the mean streets of Broad Street.
Yeah, like, know, like me, I'm not even
vulnerable for hit and runs.
I'm not a millionaire. Yeah. I'm not even a millionaire. I wouldn't do that. Like, so no, what do you
never have I ever.
Yeah. So what are you doing, my dude? Every,
know, and to add another wrinkle to it, Joel.
Yeah.
TMZ has released a video of Kelly Oubre arriving home at his own apartment that same night through his Ring.com camera, and he's got a bicycle on there. So You can take that for what it's worth, man. Maybe he did it to himself. Maybe he was having a little way too much fun and he ran into a car. But
or
this
he just,
whole thing is weird, man.
Or he just fell off. Or he just fucking fell off the bike, for all we know. Like, he was having a little fun, a little too much fun, and just, you know, fell off the bike. And that's, and he's sticking with the hit and run story because he's embarrassed. But he's got
to
know.
Either way, it's not looking good, man. And shout out to my man, Palm Bay, because he was the one that told me that, like, they went through those surveillance cameras, and not only is that a hot intersection that a lot of people have complained about in Philly, but
yeah.
his turn of event, in terms of like the window of when that happened, there's no footage of that.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because a lot of the locals who have told me personally that that's been an ongoing issue, and that they were sort of alleviated by the fact that, like, okay, maybe it takes a star player to go through this for everyone to realize, like, how dangerous this intersection is. However, now, after the fact that people are sort of, like, questioning if this even happened to Uber, it's like, oh, all right, well, no one cares anymore.
Someone had to have been in his ear to be like, yo, just say it was this section. Now, that's a really dangerous section here in Philly, because how long has he been in Philly? He hasn't been in Philly for very long, so how would he know to say that if it's not even footage of that? He's got to know too that every public place is under surveillance. Every building, you know, you don't think someone like driving by and like, oh, shit, what the fuck? Like, you know, pull out their phone and start recording, and that would have gone to TMZ somehow, or some other outlet would have caught that footage. Like, stuff, you know, goes viral very quickly these days. Like, I don't know. It sounds sketchy. Overall, like, from the jump, it sounded sketchy, but now it's going to be like, you know, some other details that are going to, drop, or someone's going to tattletale about what really happened.
Yeah. We're going to get the whole story soon, man. I feel like we're going to find out why he was, pulling up to his own apartment with that bike. Like, TMZ doesn't miss. You know, it's interesting too, man. Like, that's a hot intersection in Philly. From my understanding and guys who I spoke to and local, you know, local heads, like, it's 2023, man. Like, those type of intersections, there's cameras for that. You know, like, you got to really come correct with your accounts, and like, people will hold you accountable nowadays. And that's where we are. You know what I mean? Like, fucking TMZ released the ring.com video of his front doorstep. Like, again, that's where we are in 2023. Like, you're a celebrity, you're a professional basketball player that's in the news. Like, they're gonna dig up some dirt on you, you know. And the facts may come out, but hopefully it doesn't shed like him in an awful light. Hopefully, we'll see.
Yeah, in a place like Philly too, you gotta be careful, man. Gotta be careful, and just how you move in general.
Yo, facts. It's facts. Philly's different, man. Philly's different.
And I don't know how else to word that, but I, you know. That's just what it is. So, yeah. In case you missed it, Mark Jackson, formerly of ESPN, Mark Jackson, has been dismissed from his job at MSG, you know, MSG Network, where they show the Knicks game, they broadcast the Knicks games or whatever. So he's been dismissed from MSG, and the Knicks have banned him from the team plane. According to a report here, quote, MSG Network planned on having Jackson occasionally fill in for Clyde Frazier this season, but Knicks management, led by President Leon Rose, put a kibosh on the arrangement, in part due to an old quarrel with Jackson and an assistant coach, according to sources. So, an assistant coach right now on the Knicks doesn't like Mark Jackson for whatever reason. Let the speculation begin of who this coach may be, or anybody in the Knicks organization. But Mark Jackson, once again, out of a job. The poor guy. All he wants to do is just be a broadcaster. I mean, I'm pretty sure he wants to be a coach, but I don't think he was opposed to making the loot that he was making as a broadcaster, especially after being on ESPN for X amount of years. So that's unfortunate for Mr. Mark Jackson, as he's unemployed once again.
And it's interesting because he's saying that that's not the whole story. Like, if you ask Mark Jackson, according to his social media video, like, he declined that job, according to him, but I don't know what to believe, man. Now, because for a couple of reasons. One, he sounds shaky in the video. He doesn't sound confident as somebody who, you know what I mean? He sounds like he's reading a letter that his lawyer read up. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, watch the video.
You mean he didn't sound convincing at the time he was on some corner, like, preaching the Bible? No? Not nearly
as much. It sounds like he's fighting for his life, or his reputation, rather. And I feel like
when he was quoting scripture, no, he didn't feel that confident? No?
I hope I'm wrong, but like, That's the energy I'm getting from this guy. And I just can't help but think that, like, this may be the beginning of the end. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe he's just the type of guy who just, like, ruffled the wrong feathers, and people were just like, yo, I don't like this dude, and they just wanted him dismissed. But according to him, it was his call. He's in a point in his life where, you know, he can decline these type of things, and even though he's the Knicks for life, again, watch the video, because not only does he sound like somebody who's, like, apologizing to the New York Knicks organization, but he sounds like somebody who is trying to make up for the fact that this news report doesn't put him in a good light, you know? So, I don't know, man. The whole thing just sounds weird. And in my opinion, it's like one thing or another with Mark Jackson, man. He's like, he's forever pissing somebody off, I feel like.
Yeah, but like, what is it with the Knicks, you know, current, like, management have against former Knicks players? Like, the way, like, what's the deal? Like,
yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah.
Like, Charles Oakley has been banned from, like, MSG. Now you're doing it to Mark Jackson. We haven't seen Patrick Ewing in fucking New York in forever. So, like, what's going on?
It's just like, bitter-ass, like, championship-less Knicks players. They're just like, you never got a shit, so get the fuck out of here. That's legit how it feels like.
Yo, I think it was at the end of the preseason where, like, the Knicks had, like, an alumni, like, pickup game, and it was just, like, all the Knicks players that, like, you're like, really? These are the guys that you called to come play in this game? Like,
you got Raymond Felton, who's, like, a slim 320. Like, jeez.
Bro, I thought that was Michael Swinney, bro, when I seen the picture of him. Yo, I was like,
one of the biggest NBA players of all time. I don't blame you, man.
I was like, yo, that's not Michael Swinney? Like, that's Raymond. Wow. Like, I think the only like, couple of players I was like, all right, that's cool to bring them back. You know, it was like Allen Houston and fucking John Starks. I was a huge John Starks fan back in the day. But yo, what's going on with Raymond Felton? Why did you agree to come?
He's not a Knicks legend. Why did you get Mike Sweeney? Was Charles Oakley busy tonight? Patrick Ewing?
I was like, that is Raymond Felton. Like, whoa.
There's like 15 other Knicks players I would have gone with over Raymond Felton. I'm like, jeez Louise.
Yo, like, and like, but no, on? But like, and Raymond Felton, like, for him to accept that, like, bro, you're going to be the butt of jokes for the rest of the season now. Like, why did you do that to yourself?
Have you seen your before and after things? Please.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Unfortunately, it's just bad vibes around the Knicks, unfortunately. And that roster, they work hard, but it is what it is. All right, last but not least, in case you missed it, former Celtic and champion, big baby Glenn Davis. I don't know if you remember, I don't know if it's the beginning of this year or last year at some point where him and a bunch of other former Celtics players.
Yeah, like, beginning of last year, like Terrence Tony Williams.
Like Tony Allen was also, you know, they were all like indicted on some fraud, like, you know, trying to scam like the NBA with like through health insurance and whatnot. Well, Big Baby has been found guilty of healthcare fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy to make false statements, and conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud and wire fraud. So a bunch of shit. This is federal, okay? So, like, this dude is looking at some hard time. Mr. King Kilo himself, if you watch Power Force. Book 4, right? For those who know. If you know, you know, right? As a kid say, you know. This is the theme of this episode.
That's the best way to say it. If you know, you know. Right.
Yeah, so he was convicted along with an ex-Celtic. He was here very, very quickly. He had a cup of coffee here. Will Bynum, known mostly for being a Detroit Piston, convicted by a New York grand jury this past week. Prosecutors said that they were part of a scheme that defrauded an insurance plan for the NBA players and their families of more than $5 million. So kind of to backtrack a little bit, more than 20 people have been convicted. In this case, many of them were former NBA players who submitted fictitious dental and medical claims to the NBA Players Health and Benefits Welfare Plan. Terrence Williams, another former Celtic, was the ringleader in all of this.
Yeah, I met that dude.
I'm sure you did. He was sentenced.
No, I mean, like, before I was a reporter.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Oh, that's right. You did. I do remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
It was like a meet and greet. He was doing up in New York.
Yeah, so he was sentenced back in August. I didn't know this until now. He was sentenced back in August to a decade in
prison. You must not have got him. It must have been a problem with the post office system.
Yeah. He's he must have not
back
got
in
him.
August.
Back in August.
He must not have got him.
Dear Terrence.
It popped in my head. I just thought of a guy writing a letter to him.
Yeah. So Mr. Terrence Williams was sentenced back in August to a decade in prison as the ringleader of the scheme.
Yeah, I mean, dude was reporting like five freaking root canals in like the same month. Like, it doesn't work like that, my guy. Usually not how dental work works.
Not only that, like, you only want to get one, never mind five.
Right?
That's a lot of dental.
It's also not ideal to have it done in the same week. So, yeah, a lot of fraud going on, for sure.
They eventually will catch up. Eventually will catch up to you know? So, good old Big Baby, a.k.a. King Kilo. As they say, art imitating life. So, yeah, so he'll be in the slammer. Doesn't say how long he'll be in there yet, but that's probably he'll be sentenced at some point. He's 37 years old and obviously was a former Celtic, played with the Magic and the Clippers. And it's not looking good for Mr. Glenn Davis.
Good old white collar crime. Is that considered white collar crime? It's got to be, right?
It's fraud. It's all when it comes to money, money laundering, money like scams and, you know, money wiring, fraud, shit like that. It's all white collar crimes.
Mad fraud.
Yeah. So it's essentially millionaires, you know, trying to embezzle more millions to their bank accounts. It's like in I Got Game, and the uncle to Jesus Shuttlesworth was just like, you ain't got no job, you ain't got no income. Like, how are you paying for your goddamn fucking apartment and shit? Like, you know, it catches up to you at some point, right? Good old
wet my beak.
Wet your beak. Wet my beak. Let me wet my beak. Like
let me wet my beak, son.
You holding out on us, aren't you, son? Aren't you?
That's a great scene. Because I can imagine, right? Not speaking off experience, but every NBA player has had that conversation with some uncle. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you make it, we make it. It's like, all right, uncle. Take it easy.
Word on the street is you're about to make it big, son. I just want to make sure that you don't forget the little people, you know?
He's got his like MBTA uniform on. He's like,
like, it's been.
I put my time in.
Exactly. Right? I've paid my dues, right. and I raised your ass, even though now you're living in an apartment by yourself. But I took care of y'all. I took y'all in when your daddy was convicted.
Social is looking correct. All right, I put my time in, son. Listen. Let me wet my beak.
That SS check is not going to be enough. Not going to be enough.
Wet my beak, son. Try to make it out of Coney Island, goddamn.
Yeah, so yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Pavone edition of In Case You Missed It.
Yeah, that dude is such a New Yorker too, man.
Oh, that dude, yeah. I forget his real name, but yeah.
From, he's got to be born and raised from New York.
Yo, from the Spike Lee joints that he's been in, I think it was Do the Right Thing
I feel like he was in like Speed or something, like Mad 90s joints.
Yeah, he's been a few joints, but yeah, you're right. He's got to be a New Yorker. He nailed that role. So yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, check us out on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics news, rumors, and opinions. Hit up patreon.com/causeway for exclusive content.
Yeah.
Plus jersey giveaways. Who was our latest jersey giveaway? You said it last week, but just to remind people that we don't fuck around. We give away shit.
No, it was Merlin. He hasn't responded to my message. I'll have to reach out to him again.
My man has been busy. You know why? Because he ran the New York City Marathon a couple of
weekends
ago.
I saw that. Yeah. That's why I'm not even sweating.
Yeah. Congrats. He raised a good, you know, chunk of change that's going to a good cause. So congrats, Merlin, on the giveaway, on the jersey giveaway, and, you know, your marathon finish on NYC.
Yo, absolutely, man. This guy's day one, so for sure, man. Hell appreciate you, Merlin. Big congrats, time. My guy.
Big time
that's
supporter.
Hard work. Hard work pays off, man. You got like a 6-month training
to go through before you do something like that, man. It's not something you, it's not like a 5K, you know?
I know, right? Any sort of fucking marathon, yeah, that's kind of a big deal. You got to go through like a year to 6 months to a year of like, you know, running, yeah, of running to just, you know, somewhat simulate the actual marathon. So
it's like, yo, how's your body, Mike?
I know, right? He's just like, like running like to like a bus stop. It's like nothing to him compared to the average citizen, you know, so to speak here. But yeah, shout out to him. Big supporter of the Causeway brand. We appreciate that. So yeah, again, patreon.com/Causeway. You want to be like Merlin? You want to get a free jersey? Do the right thing. All right. No pun intended. We got some more 101 with Sways that are coming up and a bunch of random topics that all all three of us talk about, you know.
Spike Lee's like, wait, what? But no, that's a perfect way to put it.
Mr. Get on the bus. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So that's a yeah. We talk about all types of shit, not just sports, not just, you know, pop culture, everything. You might get some insight on any of our lies that we probably wouldn't talk about in public, but you know,
right?
For the right,
but I guarantee you, it's relatable.
Yeah. So for the right for the right fee of you know, a dollar each of us, so $3, you're contributing to the cause.
Give each one of us four quarters.
That's it. You know. You know the.
I feel like nowadays, dude, there's inflation everywhere, man. Even some of these like platforms asking for like $5, $6, $7 a month. Nah, man, we just ask for three.
$3.
Yeah. Get all of this for three.
That's it. So once again, yeah. patreon.com/Causeway. Subscribe.
Become a Causeway saint. Hell yeah.
You got to. All right. So that's going to do it for this episode. Hopefully Sean will return from Lodge Management next episode. And we're going to keep, you know, pumping these out. Probably one more before the Turkey Day. You know, so just keep rolling. We're going to keep rolling out content. This is what we do.
Yeah, it's only right, man. This is a special team for sure, man. I think this season's going to be one of those years that we look back on and say, man, that was a fun ride. Hopefully end in the championship. In my opinion, it should, but you never know with the way things work out in the NBA. However, either way, man, it's a special year for sure. So follow them.
They better. That's all I'm saying. They better. But yeah, so until next time. Yo, you're out. Peace. Be well. All that good stuff.
We'll see y'all next week.
Later.